And a good Thursday morning to you, and welcome into the DDC. Darren McFarland. It sounds like I'm going, Darren McFarland.
Is it cutting out?
Now they're
you back. Sound good to me.
They're back. We're back. Chase McCabe, the suit. And Max Herz, behind the glass here at the Hillside Medical Game Studios. Boy, did we have fun yesterday. 615-day celebration.
It was cool.
Michelle and I were talking about it before the show. I'm leaving Fordyce Center in Antioch, and I hear, "Hey, Darren!" I turn around. There's Michelle in the dunk tank booth, waving, and I'm like, the minute my arm goes up to wave, she disappears. She's gone. It was like the best timing ever. So it was a lot of fun. And I know you did the dunk tank. Jared did the dunk tank.
Yeah.
Joe, did Rex? Rexy
Rex
do it?
Rexro did it.
Rexy did it.
Yeah, he did it. Jared by far wins the award for, you know, going in most times. Not that really should shock anybody.
No.
Sean Henry said he dunked him like three times. There was a line of kids because they were like, "Chase, why don't you go do it? You know, it'd be a funny video." And I never got a chance to do it because the line was so long. Like, there was a line full of kids wanting to dunk Jared. And it, like, I don't think they knew who he was. But to Jared's credit,
it's fun, though.
Yeah, to Jared's credit, he was playing it up. He was asking him their name and like, "Oh, good shot. Give it another shot." And so it was cool. And, you know, glad to be able to do it and raise money for the Boys and Girls Club in Middle Tennessee and the Preds Foundation. And I did it. I got in there early, and I got to tell you, like, it was refreshing, because as hot as it was, that first Lindsay Rowley got me first, and she cheated, and that's okay.
Yeah, but she talked about it on the air.
Yeah, I know, but that's fine. She admitted it. Skillsy would have been proud. But I mean, Skillsy, I never would have gotten out. Like, it just, every time I climbed back up there, he'd hit the button again.
Yeah,
and
he wouldn't
back
have,
in.
Yeah, he wouldn't have thrown anything. He just have been hitting the button.
But that, after that first dunk, I got up there and there was a little breeze, and I'm like, man, this feels good. So it was a lot of fun. So I'm glad that I'm glad we were able to do it and raise money for a great cause, and thanks for everybody that contributed and came out.
It was a lot of fun, and it was, I thought, even bigger than the previous year in Bellevue at the Fordyce Center. We had a blast there, and that was a big to-do. But I felt like yesterday, man, it was just a great turnout. By the way, Eddie George hanging out with us.
That was cool.
On the air for 30-plus minutes and was just wanted to talk, man. He's there for the kids. He's wearing his 615 shirt. And, look, he's as cool as it gets. I'm just so envious of him. Like, I think I told you this, or I don't know if you were – privy to the conversation, but after the show, I'm just like, gosh, I used to be so mad at him the way he looked when he played. But he was an NFL player. He's a professional football player. So he's supposed to look like a statue, like somebody sculptured him. He just said it to us. He's almost 50 years old and he still looks like that. It's like, damn you. Really? Can you get it like a gray hair somewhere? Or
right.
Can something sag? Can you have, you know, poofy eyelid? What, something? Like, really? You still look like this at 50? But he does. He barely looks different.
I know.
He barely looks different.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. He and Derek both look like,
yeah, that's
that.
True. And Derek's late 40s, and
yeah,
he looks like he could step out there right now.
And Derek's told me, he goes, "I probably could if not for my knees." I mean,
yeah,
like, you know, like, and I'm sure Eddie's the same way. Like, I heard you guys talking about, you know, the turf toe, and I thought that was a really, really good conversation. And for people that, you know, think about Derrick Henry and have concerns, I mean, you listen to a guy like Eddie that did it for a long time, and Eddie made a great point by saying, you know, I played 8 full years in the league, you know, before that. And, you know, Derrick, at least his first couple of years,
his mileage is way down. Look,
right.
His Eddie was a used car with high mileage. Now,
yeah,
they're going to say it's highway miles, right? That's
right.
How we always
– right.
It's highway miles. So, oh, okay, it's not city miles. But Derrick Henry's low mileage. He's it's same year at the time they're selling the Eddie car, but his has got much, much lower mileage. And that was a good point. Like, hey, the first several years – He's the second back. He had to ease in.
Right.
Eddie was the man.
Right.
From the beginning.
He
was the man.
Well, and I think that's why, with Derek, that it's a situation now where, all right, you can be concerned, but I think you can also look at it and say that he's probably got a few more years just because his wear and tear, even at Alabama, I mean, he didn't get used a lot. So it was just, you know, he had that last year at Alabama that was his big year, but you go look at his numbers before that, a lot of tread left on the tire, and then his first 2 years in the NFL. So I think that's got to be a positive. And if you're Derek, you look at it and you say, okay, that's why I should probably get some more money, because I got more tread left on the tire.
Mm-hmm.
The only concern now is the foot. He's never had an injury, a significant injury before until last year. And so obviously from the organization's standpoint, they're going to be concerned about that.
Yep. We must hit the breaking news sounder. Chris and Gallatin on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Remember, Chris last week, early in the week, gave us an update. I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday, leading up to our trip to Gatlinburg/Pigeon Forge. He's got new news.
Oh.
And his news was correct, by the way. I trust the source.
Okay.
Chris in Gallatin. I trust him. Bucky's in Crossville, opening June 27th.
Oh.
There it is.
This is big.
There it is.
We're going to Crossville.
June 27th.
We're going to Crossville.
11 days from now.
Just to go to Bucky's.
Well, in all seriousness, if, you know, a lot of people are going to be making the trek for UT football this year, just remember,
you've got
an exit.
In September, I'm going to Bristol for the night race.
There you go.
Can hit Bucky's.
Chris, thank you very much for the update. We kind of knew it was close, right? We went by it, came back on Sunday. So on Sunday, I mean, it looked like it was getting very, very close. Well, there you go. 11 days from now.
I love it.
Bucky's and Crossville.
Oh, it's awesome. We passed it. It looked close.
It did.
It looked close. It just wasn't there yet.
It did. Well, there you go. Thank you, Chris, for the update. Chris must go back and forth, East Tennessee.
He could. I mean, and Crossville's not that far. So
when's about, what, about an hour and a half?
Hour and a half. Not bad.
2 hours? Hour and a half, 2 hours?
Yeah, I always look at that as Crossville's kind of the last stop I make when I'm headed to Knoxville or Gatlinburg.
Yeah, like if you're going to make a stop, that is your last one.
Yeah.
If you have to tinkle, there's where you need to go. And then you can make it to Knoxville.
You can go to Bucky's.
Yes, you can.
Go to Bucky's at that point.
And you will just sit in the restroom and just go, wow.
There was a spot in Crossville that my grandparents and I always stopped at. It was called the Bean Pot, and it was like a gas station and a restaurant and everything. And I kind of think that might be where the Bucky's is. Like, they tore it down. You know, it's been closed for a long time. But that was always, when we were going to East Tennessee, we would stop there and then make the home stretch.
Now, the Sevierville location, we saw nothing.
We didn't see it.
So I don't think they've broken ground.
I mean, I would think if there's going to be one, it's going to be off the interstate.
It'll be off the main drag.
By the ballpark.
And they'll have, like, trees out back, and they'll be growing money.
Maybe they're going to build the new ballpark in Knoxville, and then they'll tear the old one down and build a Bucky's.
Oh. Oh,
that would be a good spot for a Bucky's.
That would be a good spot.
I like that ballpark, though. I hate that they're going to do that.
We hate that they were out of town.
Yeah.
Because we usually hit the game.
That would have been fun.
Speaking of games, how about last night, game one?
It was a good game.
That was a great game.
It was funny because, and I know you guys had John Hines on.
We did yesterday.
I was talking to him off the air about it. Talked to Dante Fabro a little bit.
You'll hear that a little bit later.
I was talking to him about it. I mean, obviously, the Predators were very familiar with Colorado, but – you know, also familiar with Tampa from, you know, last year in the modified division. And so I saw them a lot. But the point that Coach Hines made to me was this was the first time that Colorado had faced the number one goalie, because Saros was hurt in the first round. They did see a little bit, you know, of St. Louis, but
Bennington got hurt. Uso had to finish the series.
Yeah. And so it was really the first time throughout that that they had seen.
Well, Edmonton, that, I mean, Mike Smith,
yeah,
was.
But Mike Smith at this point is not really a number one goalie. Let's just.
Well, I mean.
He is, but he is.
I mean. But he was their
he
number
was,
one.
But,
he was their number one goalie.
But like,
they were in the East, their Western Conference final.
I know. I get that. But like, I don't think that he was. That he's not in the same level as Vasilevskiy. Let's
well,
just put it that way.
Well, that's a different conversation.
Right. So,
by the way, Mo start.
Yeah. But you watched the first period last night and you go, oh, like they're handling Tampa. They're handling
yeah.
Vasilevskiy.
Yeah.
And then Tampa, you know, bounced back. And I guess your concern for Colorado would be, can Kemper hang?
By the way, that Kucherov pass was, I mean,
it was sick.
That's ridiculous.
He's sick.
He's disgusting.
But, you know, it goes overtime. Colorado wins. I mean, this isn't going to be a sweep. This is going to be a series.
Like, I think it's going to be a great series.
It's going to be awesome. It's going to be back and forth. I wouldn't be shocked if it goes the distance.
I mean, if you're a hockey fan, even if you're not, if you're experimenting with this, is the series you want to watch.
Yeah.
This is must watch.
There's so much skill. So much skill in the, you know, in this series.
Well,
so.
let's come back with that on the
sure.
other side. And also some things that were said with head coach John Hines yesterday out of Ford Ice Center in Antioch. You're listening to the DDC right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, 106.3 The Game, Nashville out.
Then you had to play Colorado. It didn't go right for you. And there's just that really awful feeling when that series ends. But as you come out of it, you get more removed for it. Does your perspective change at all?
Well, it doesn't necessarily change, Willie, in the sense that, you know, we all felt like we could have played better in that playoff series, regardless of whether Juice was in the net or not. And you know, it was something I thought, you know, the first two games we weren't at a level that were competitive enough to be able to make it really solid games. I thought game three and four we were better. You know, but I think that's something that we're really taking a look at, that it wasn't acceptable to us, you know, the way that the season ended, particularly in the playoffs. And those are things, whether that's from a coaching perspective where we can do a better job, and we're working on some things this summer, individual players, you know, guys and certain things that we've got to be better at individually, collectively as a team. And then right now, this is the stage of the year too, where, you know, as you said, you're constantly evaluating your team. How can we get better? What types of players can we add to our team, whether that's draft, free agency, you know, trades, whatever that may be, is where, you know, we want to be better and continue to grow our team to a level that can compete for a championship.
Was that you, Max? Was that the song?
Yes, that was
okay,
the song.
I was like, I don't remember that happening yesterday.
We both were like, what?
When did that happen? Oh. There you go, head coach John Hines. And yeah, he obviously saw a lot of Colorado. It was a great game last night. Colorado came out, I think, a minute and a half into OT and they get the game winner. Incredible passing.
Right.
The speed of these two teams, the passing, it's incredible. So, I don't think just because they took game one, I still think this, yeah, we've already seen from Tampa. Like,
Tampa's
not
going to
go. They know how to bounce back. They've got those guys, and those guys don't get rattled, and they're going to be just fine. I think that thing is going to go probably the distance.
I hope it does, because
it's got the right teams. To me, and I said this to John Hines yesterday, rarely do we actually get the best teams at the end because, one, injuries happen. You have to have a lot of things. Breaks go your way. That usually plays a big part in it. Or just somebody gets hot. Somebody gets hot at the right time, and you're unable to overcome that. But I do think when you look at it, these are the two best teams, without a doubt.
Yeah. Yeah, and
like
it's actually worked
out to that. If you wanted to pick it going into the playoffs, like before it started, and said, okay, pick the best matchup that you think people will be the most intrigued by, I think
it would have been this.
You'd probably pick Lightning and Avs, right?
Well, because you're getting the two-time defending cup champions, and you're getting the team that for the last 2 years everybody's, you know, basically said they're going to win it. You know, that they either should win it or should be there, and now Colorado's finally there. So I agree. I mean, I think this is – you know, would Colorado and the Rangers been good? Okay, probably. But I think this is the one that people really wanted to see because, number one, the big storyline is, can they three-peat? You know, can there be a three-peat in the NHL for the first time since, what, the Islanders?
Islanders in the 80s.
Yeah. So, and in sports, when was the last three-peat? The Lakers? Is that right?
Sounds right.
Yeah.
Because obviously Golden State hasn't done it in this run.
No. Almost.
The Heat never did it.
Heat never did
it. With the big three. So, yeah, I would – that sounds right.
Yeah. So it's been a while.
We know in baseball it does. It just, it's.
Yankees did back to back.
It's so hard. It's been a, I mean, three-peat in baseball.
Yeah. Or did the Yankees three-peat?
Well, there was obviously a long run. So I would
96,
say.
96. No, yeah.
No.
Because 97.
No, they lost to 98 Arizona.
Right. In 97 was the Marlins.
Was the Marlins. Thanks for bringing that up.
Sorry. Yeah, so I don't think 99 they won, 2000.
Nothing in the 90s, so you'd have to go back before that.
Well, but I mean, even beyond that, because 99 they won, 2000 was the Subway Series, I think.
Yep.
And they won that.
Yep.
And then 01
was.
That was the Diamondbacks. 01 was the Diamondbacks.
Yeah, that was Diamondbacks over Yankees.
Yeah. Game. That was the Diamondbacks.
Okay.
That was. Schilling and Johnson and yeah, so it's been a while.
It's a rare. The point is, it's a rare thing in sports, especially today, right? Usually, when you get these type of, you have to go back where there's less teams, there's no salary cap. It's like football. Like it's really hard because now you've got it's so competitive. You've got this hard cap, and. You know, back in the days of the dynasties, they had no cap. It was free reign, and Cowboys and Steelers and 49ers, same teams, they built dynasties. And so you could do it, and they didn't have to tear it down. As long as they were willing to pay the money, they could keep it all intact.
Right.
But that was pre-salary cap, and now it just goes
different.
To show you how hard it is. So we'll see if they can pull it off. Did see the SEC Big 12 Challenge. I'm always curious of the matchups. They just put it out for next season. Kansas, it will be at Kentucky. Texas will be at Tennessee.
Oh.
So that'll be interesting.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, and they played earlier this year, right? And that was Rick Barnes' first trip back.
Yeah.
Okay. I like that.
But that was – where was that? Was that in Austin? So I think what they've done is they're now running it back to Knoxville. Or was that neutral site? I don't remember where it was.
I think it was in. I think it was in Texas.
This one being in Knoxville is going to be awesome.
Yeah. Oh, it'll be good. But I think it was in Austin.
So there's a couple that Alabama at Oklahoma. That's pretty cool. Arkansas at Baylor. That'll be a good one.
That'll be a good one.
So anyway, just thought pass that along. But you know, we talked yesterday about the vibe of John Hines. Talking about Forsberg, I don't think anybody changed their mind, right? Willie gave it a 3% bump. I don't know how.
I don't know how
you get a 3% bump from that, but I don't know what you want him to say. What else is he going to say?
Yeah, I'm still 50-50, and I have been very back and forth on this whole thing because, you know, this show has a different perspective because we got to talk to the general manager every week, so. We kind of got that glimpse of what
was
going on.
We would gauge kind of the conversation with him.
Yeah, and sometimes he would bring it up without us asking, and then sometimes, you know, we would ask, and he would talk about it. And there were points before the trade deadline that I thought, oh, okay, he's optimistic, things will get done. And then nothing got done, and then after that, you know, you could kind of tell that, okay, they're not close. And, you know, I don't know if you knew this, but Philip was at CMA Fest. They brought him out on the stage. He was talking about Nashville.
No, what happened?
Yeah. So you did hear about it. You talked about it.
Yes.
Sorry.
Yeah.
But, look, I have a lot going on as the suit. I'm trying to start a new station. I can't listen all the time. I'm sorry. Anyway.
No, I asked Lindsay about it yesterday.
Oh, like, did you?
Well, you've been... Like, you know, you've been in those spots. I've done it. Willie's done it. We've been in those spots of being up on a stage with a microphone and just how What'd you think of that?
Yeah.
Didn't really go there. Like, I was more willing to go like, yeah, like that was so weird. And like,
it was awkward.
The first time I heard it, I'm like, why would you be doing that? But anyway, we've already gone over that. But yeah, and nothing really changed. Although I did say, if you were looking, this was my take. If you were looking for positives from that, as we sit here, we're getting close to 5 weeks out. I guess Monday will be 5 weeks out. Or 3 weeks out.
Yeah, it's July 13th, right?
July 13th, yeah. So I said, if you're looking for a positive, the positive is he did it.
Mm-hmm.
Look, if this thing was nowhere close, or he had no intentions of coming back, or his agent's already out there flirting with other things going on, because we all know this. I mean, stop it. Like, this whole thing, nothing really starts till July 13th. I mean, come on, stop it. If that was going on, and his agent's like, look, I'm just going to let you in on something. Let's say Vancouver. Vancouver's going to offer you $10.5 million a year. Or L.A. L.A.'s going to offer you $10.5 million a year. And he's got this, and that doesn't mean, but it's in his head. Is he going to agree to do that? Is he going to go out there on stage?
Hey, yeah, Nashville, probably not.
Or is he going to go lay low?
Yeah.
He can still go to the event.
He's been visible.
He
That's
can
the
go
thing.
To the suite. He could be backstage watching. He could be in a VIP tent or pit. I mean, he can get access. He can still go, but he agreed to go out on stage. So if you were looking, I don't know how much stock I put into that, but if you were looking for a positive, he went out. So he's got to be pretty comfortable with where things are to actually go out on stage. Because if you're not, I can't imagine that you're agreeing to do that. Because Phillip's accessible. He's out there. But he's not like Taylor Lewan. Like Taylor Lewan, like, I don't know how you could gauge anything from him, because I just think if it's something fun or out there or in the limelight, he's going to do it, right? And so I don't know how much you can gauge off of that. Phillip's accessible. Phillip can do that stuff, but he's not to that level, right? He's not somebody. PK will be out there. PK it doesn't matter, yep. Right? He'll put a cowboy hat on, and he'll go out there in boots, and he's going to get the crowd riled up. That's his personality. If things were kind of weird and awkward behind the scenes, I just can't imagine that he would agree to ever go out there. I think he would say, I appreciate the ask. I think I'm just going to watch. I'm here with some people. We're going to be in a suite, or we're going to be watching here. Because
what did he do? He pumped up Nashville. He was all about Nashville and very pro Nashville. And so I agree with you on that. And
if I was going to give percentages, I would go up from that as opposed to yesterday's interview with John Hines.
Right.
I
would agree with you on that. And I think he was at Nashville SC too. I think he's been spotted there. I mean, he's been visible is what I'm saying. He's been out in the community.
Like, wouldn't you kind of go underground if you kind of had a feeling like, you know, I don't think this is going to happen. Would you really? I don't know. Maybe the answer is yes, but maybe I'm thinking it for me. I'm like probably laying low. That's just me.
Well, if you're going to leave, you leave.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
But he hadn't done that.
I know. So that's probably how you look at it. We'll come back. Corey Curtis, News 2. We'll get into all things Titans. We'll ask him about this conversation, if you can put any stock into those things. We'll do all that on the other side here on the DDC. ESPN 102.5 The Game, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app. Gene texted in from Spring Hill and said the Yankees three-peated 98, that's 99, it. 2000.
I knew there was a three-peat in there somewhere for them.
Padres, Braves, Mets. They won in 96, obviously didn't win in 97. And then they won 99.
But the Lakers have done it since then.
So they did it 4 or 5 years.
Right? Weren't the Lakers in the 2000s?
Yep. We will continue on. Let's bring in Corey Curtis. News 2. Corey, what's going on?
If it's news to you, it's news to us.
All right. I like that. You know what? Weigh in on what we were just talking about. I don't know if you heard John Hines' comments with us yesterday at the Fordyce Center in Antioch, and you've seen the video with Philip Forsberg, and does any of that mean anything to you, or is it a whole lot to do about nothing, and your stance, whatever your stance is, and that's where I want you to go with this, it hasn't changed.
I don't think it's really changed. I mean, for me, I think he wants to be back. I think the Preds want him back. I think the Preds will believe he's back. But until he's back, he's not back. I know that's a whole lot of nothing I just said. For me, I'm going to believe that they're going to get it worked out until they don't. And that might be naive on my part, but I just, after the whole Ryan Suter thing, I can't believe this could happen again. And I think Forsberg's agents, if he's got any, I don't know, they know they've got the Preds over a barrel. And
by the way, Forsberg does have an agent, and okay, it's out there, and it's public and everything.
He doesn't have a team.
Doesn't have a team, or and he's probably got an uncle, but I don't think the uncle's not a part of the team.
Okay, well, so I believe that they know they've got the Preds where they need them, and they'll get what they want to get when it comes time to finally have a deal. I mean, Landeskog last year went down to the 11th hour, didn't it?
It did,
and so I think we'll see something, you know, similar here.
So you would give your percentage that he's back at what?
I've been hearing you guys do this all week, and I probably should have been prepared for that question. I'd say, I don't know, 75%.
75, okay. That's
pretty high.
It's pretty strong. It's pretty strong.
Yeah, well, I mean, the Preds haven't wavered. I mean, and so, I mean, I think, you know, he's important to them, and I think they're going to do what it takes. But I think they're just trying to do the best they can.
So we segue into something that you already hit on, and boy, did we talk about this yesterday, because little did we know when we played the Jeffrey Simmons Q&A with the media yesterday what we were going to get. We had no idea. It was just like, oh,
yeah,
Simmons talked? Okay, we're playing that.
I was there. We were shocked. They said he was coming out. We were like, oh, really?
Okay. Right. That's what we were like, because Max was like, I was like, you know, we're talking down the line. I was like, hey, who's talked for the Titans, because we were going back and forth from locations at Fordyce, and so we didn't have our computers with us half the time, so I couldn't sit there and monitor Twitter and see who was talking. He's like, Jeffrey Simmons. I was like, oh, okay, we're definitely playing that. So you're there. So we're listening to it, you know, on the air and just sitting there looking at, like, going, what in the world? You were there. What was your thoughts, and what were people around? Was everybody doing the same thing we were doing, or was it awkward?
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, I give him credit for talking because, you know, because he didn't practice, he probably didn't have to, but he did. So I think that's good. Now, we've talked ad nauseum about how the Titans' secrecy, they think, does them favors. We don't believe it does them favors. We think it just hurts them, because all it does is create speculation. And, you know, look, like I said, I give Jeffrey credit for talking. He knew what was coming, and he knew the message that he was trying to put out. That message just wasn't very believable. That's all. You know, I mean, again, I'm one who's just like, hey, put it out there, and it's there for a day, and then everybody kind of deals with it. You know, I don't want to put words in anyone's mouth, but it would have been easy to say, you know what, I love it here, I want to be here, I know the Titans want me here, we're going to get something worked out, I just can't step foot on the practice field until we do, because I can't take a chance on getting hurt. It's no different than when Taylor, you know, got his deal done and he left, you know, until the deal got done. We're going to get a deal done. So, you know, I thought it was important to be here to show that I'm not holding out, because I think that's what he was really trying to get out, is I'm not holding out. I mean, I think he desperately wanted to get that message across that he's not holding out.
But he is.
Well,
but he is.
Yeah.
He's holding in.
So it's like he's holding in.
Yeah. But I mean, like, you know, this is me guessing, because once again, all we can do is speculate, because we don't get answers on this stuff. My guess is with the Titans is they told him, Jeff, be here. We'll work something out, but you need to be here. And so he was there, and they came to an agreement that they felt good about, that he could be there, that they could continue to work on his deal. Like, the Titans love that guy, and there's no reason not to. And I don't think that any of this is going to get in the way of anything. I think he's going to be a Titan for a long time, and I think he's going to make a lot of money. It just, you know, Jeff was uncomfortable with it, and it, you know, the explanation made everyone else kind of uncomfortable with it. And then, you know, we knew we were going to talk to Vrabel afterwards, and so we knew we weren't going to get any kind of clarity whatsoever. And so just kind of left it at what it was. And it leaves us here kind of, you know, I'd say reading the tea leaves, but it's more like reading a billboard.
Yeah, but are you uncomfortable with where it seems like he's going behind the scenes, his camp? Because I know you've been here, the Vince Young and his basically family hand. That's the first, Corey, was the first, well, these guys know it.
Family robbed him blind.
Oh, my gosh. It's a horrible, horrible idea. But I just, I don't think that works at all. Do you think, is he going down that rabbit hole?
Well, I think he is. I mean, but like, he knows his family better than we do, and he trusts them. I mean, he's got family with NFL experience. I think he's leaning on that. I do think you need, you know, when you've got the dollars at stake that they've got, when you've got the nuances of the contracts that they've got, I do think you need someone with legal expertise.
Yes.
I'm going to
Corey,
I'm
if
guess
you were going into
on that team.
Right, if you're going into a negotiation for your next TV deal, and it's the biggest one of your life, and you think it's going to be maybe the biggest one of your life, look, put your feeling. You can love your family, you can trust your family, you can believe there are some really smart cats in your family, but the biggest deal of your life, do you want people that's not their area of expertise doing your deal?
Yeah, I mean, apparently. You know, everybody's different, and some people only trust the people closest to them. And I'm not saying that that's Jeff, but that's the way some people are. You know, they're very tight knit in their family and their surroundings, and that's the only people that they trust is family. And you know, and again, I don't know what the background is. I just know, like you do, a lot of times in these circumstances, the situations, the finish has been tragic. And, you know, you don't want that to be the case. And to answer your question, I don't have an agent. I negotiate my own deals. But if I was going to negotiate a deal that was going to be worth 10 times what I'm making now, which is where he's probably going to be, you know, I probably would hire someone to be in the room with me and to make sure everything got worked out.
I've never had an agent, but all my contract deals have been through with an attorney. I've had an attorney.
Yeah.
You need somebody to read over the language.
I've seen enough contracts now that I know all the TV language. I know what everything means. And so I feel good about doing it myself. But like you're saying, when there's more at stake, you need to have more safeguards in place.
We're talking to Corey Curtis, News 2, about the Titans. Okay, I'm going to ask you a hypothetical question because I heard Rex Rowe talking about this morning.
Uh-oh.
He said that you're going to hear the phrase Tannehill to Austin Hooper a lot this year.
Yep.
If you hear that a lot this year, like he says, what kind of season do you think Tannehill's going to have?
Well, I mean, look, he needs to have a better year than he had last year. And, you know, they've drafted a guy behind him. So I think if he's not motivated, you know, from the finish to last season and now the way this one started, then you know, you'd have to question the ability to motivate him. So I think he's motivated. And I think the important thing with Tannehill is what we've always seen is he throws to the guys he trusts. He throws to the guys that he's had the most work with. And since Hooper's been here, and he's been here, they've worked together a lot. And we've already seen, you know, that connection, you know, at camp, you know, working itself out. And so I think, you know, tight ends tend to catch balls over the middle. That's where Tannehill does some of his best work. So I think it should cut down on his interception total. What was his total last year? 14?
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. I think it should cut down on his interception total. I don't know about the Titans, you know, chunk play situation. Their chunk play situation took a bit of a dip last year for a while. until they could get, you know, AJ back up and rolling. But, you know, I think their ability to move the chains will be okay. And I think, you know, I think he could have a big year. I think he could have a good year completion percentage wise and with fewer turnovers. I just don't know if yards per attempt or yards per completion will be as good as we've seen it.
Yeah. And I asked that question because he's relied so much on the tight end in his career. And, you know, last year, obviously there was a dip at that
position.
Well,
they didn't have any really. So yeah. It was kind of on the Titans. They decided they could take whatever's off the top of the trash heap and do it that way.
Yeah. And it didn't work out.
It didn't work out.
I was reading Jim Wyatt's column the last couple of days on TennesseeTitans.com. And it's not the first time that I've seen him or anyone else mention this guy. But when we talk about the receiver position, you know, it's been obviously Treylon Burks and Robert Woods and Nick mm-hmm. Westbrook-Ikhina. But Josh Malone, that was out of the University of Tennessee, has apparently had a really good offseason to this point. Now, I want to see it in training camp. I want to see it in the mm-hmm. preseason. But is he making a case right now, Corey, to potentially be a part of this receiving core?
Well, I mean, you know, he's made a good first impression, I guess. By the way, went to Station Camp High School, a former Titans on two prep player of the week.
Yep.
That which is always fun to see. And you know, you look at him, he looks the part, right? I mean, he's a big dude. And you know, he came out of Tennessee as a high draft pick. It hadn't happened for him though to this point. And I guess that's my concern. Is, I mean, he's been in the league for a while and hasn't been able to make it happen. So I guess, you know, kind of on the opposite of the Forsberg spectrum, it's nice to see him out there competing. I'd love to see him be a part of this receiver rotation. I would. But until I see him do it with other uniforms on the other side of the field, I'm not going to believe it because it hasn't happened to this point, and he's had chances. I mean, I think he was like Jets practice squad last year, right?
Yeah, that sounds right.
And, I mean, that's not a great team, or wasn't a great team. They made some moves. But, you know, hopefully this is the team that it works out for him at. He's, like I said, he's got the size and some of the ability. You know, we've seen him make some plays in camp, and hopefully he can carry it over, and hopefully this is just the right team. But I don't know, how many stories do you guys know of receivers who just kind of bounced around the league for about 4 or 5 years, didn't do anything, and then all of a sudden were guys?
I was literally bouncing that around in my head when you guys were discussing that, because
it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. I mean, you hear about it once in a while with a running back
or quarterbacks. Quarterbacks,
or
you
quarterbacks,
can see
you know, who take time to develop, mm-hmm. you know, that sort of thing. But with receivers, generally, those guys have the juice or they don't. And, you know, so, you know, and it used to take a couple years for those guys to develop, but there's a difference between taking a couple years to develop and, you know, I mean, look at his stat line. It is what it is. And so, you know, hopefully he gets a turnaround. It would be awesome to see him be a part of that group. And, you know, look, he's battling, to me, probably Dez Fitzpatrick for a spot on this team. I think those two guys will probably be going head-to-head for a spot on the team. That's my guess because, you know, you've got Burks, you've got Woods, you've got Phillips, you've got Westbrook-Ikhina. So that's four, right? And I'm sure I'm missing somebody else in there, I'm sure. And then, you know, you'll have Fitzpatrick, Malone. And are they going to keep Racy McMath because they like him on special teams? I think there's a good chance of that.
I think the best example I can come up with is Delanie Walker.
Yeah.
7 years in San Francisco, I think 20-something catches was his biggest year. And then,
yeah,
you know,
but he played a lot.
Yeah,
he played a lot. I mean, he had a role.
But, I mean, the stats showed that, you know, there wasn't much there. And then he came here and exploded and flirted with 100 catch seasons, right?
He also had Vernon Davis playing.
No, I understand, right? But that was just one that came to mind.
Yeah,
that's seven years of nothing.
He got an opportunity here.
Yeah,
and you know, look, when Malone went to the Bengals, they had what, AJ Green and Tyler Boyd,
right?
And all,
yeah, they were pretty crowded house. Yep.
Yeah, they did, He did. And then last year he was with Zach Wilson, who can't hit a barn.
He can't. Corey, good stuff from you. Thanks for doing this. As always, we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Yeah, by the way, that's one of my calls. Everybody who's saying that, you know, Zach Wilson's going to take a leap, I'll believe it when I see it, because that guy was terrible.
Yeah. Maybe a leap off the rocks into the lake for Cliff. Yep. Thank you, Corey. Corey Curtis, News 2. Back to wrap up the first hour next.
Much attention to the contract extension that he got, though?
Man, we all see that. You know, it's in the media. But, you know, like I said, when it's time for the talk contract, you know, I don't want to be a part of it. You know, that's why I got a team around me to handle that. Like I got a, like I said, a team that I have, you know, I know that they want the best for me. And, you know, like I said, that's, it's not in my control. You know, that's for them to handle. I think that's why they get paid the way they do, to go talk to them guys upstairs. So, like I said, I have a team in place to, you know, when it's time to talk contract, they'll be ready to talk.
There you go, Jeffrey Simmons. Yesterday, Terry McCormick asked him the question. Did you pay close attention to Aaron Donald's re-upping?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I heard about it. Somebody told me that. I got a text on it. I think I checked my phone. Yeah, no, he knows.
Yeah, he knows. Look, here's the thing. They may say they don't pay attention. Like, I always laugh, and I like Jeffrey Simmons. I'm not trying to hate on Jeffrey Simmons, but I always laugh when they're like, oh, I don't pay attention to that, or I don't listen to that, because it's BS, because they do.
They need to stop, all of them. Coaches, GMs, players.
Yeah.
Everybody.
And when he's like, I'm not concerned about my contract, like, again, yes, you are. You should be. Like, you totally should be. Like, yeah. You have every right to be. And this is a big year for him. And I think he should pay attention. You know, the Aaron Donald situation, I quote tweeted it when that news broke and said Jeffrey Simmons right now. And it was the Shaq gif of like, here we go.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, because that's now he knows the target.
He's in the same room with Aaron Donald. Aaron Donald is still running the show.
Yeah.
But he's in the room.
He may not be at the same table yet, but he's in the room.
But he's in the room.
Yeah.
He's at the same event in the room.
Right. They are in the room.
He may not be sitting at the head table, because that's Aaron Donald's table.
Yeah.
But he's in the room.
But he could.
Could be.
I mean, look, I think it's huge for the Titans to have the same front four back. And you're going to have hopefully a healthier Bud Dupree that you're going to get a full season out of. You're hoping Landry, it wasn't just a contract year, that he comes back still motivated, which I feel like he will be. But got to see it. And then obviously Jeffrey Simmons in a contract situation. That's dangerous. If it all comes together, that's a dangerous group for this Titans defense. But we all know that injuries happen and a lot can go on, but I think it is funny that Jeffrey Simmons, you know, you don't, it's not a holdout because he's there, but
that was a good term. I like that. Hold in.
And, yeah. And you know, my friend said to me, Ricky said to me, he goes,
now, was that yours or was that stolen?
No, hold in was me.
Nice.
Yeah, that was nice. Me. But Ricky said to me that he's holding out, but in a polite way.
Well, that's a good way to put it.
Pretty much what it is.
Yeah, so. Right. He is. That was the reason maybe why he talked. But here's the deal. He is. That's what he's doing. And when he's going to talk, I mean, he's going to get asked these questions. And to say that he's not, but you are. Like, there's no other reason why you're not out. Then why aren't you out there? This is a mandatory minicamp. So why? You're there. You're present. You're not dealing with an injury. Again, Mike Vrabel's just going with the unavailables. That's the way he, you know, back to the constant secret. I've got a secret that we've had now going into year five. Secret. I've got a secret. Him and John Robinson. You want to play the secret, I got a secret game, then you know what? Everybody in the media is going to play the game of speculate.
Right.
So here's the deal.
Which Vrabel clearly doesn't care about at this point.
Well, he does. Vrabel likes to play tough guy, but he does care about this stuff because he's changed over the years, and he does care. I know he puffs out his chest and he plays tough guy, but he does care. If he doesn't care, he would literally dig in, and this would be year five of digging in on everything and never changing. But he has changed because he does care, which says he's also smart, because digging in – and never changing is going to get you fired.
Right.
Digging in and never changing will be you're not going to be a head coach anymore, because that's not how it works. You need to be smart about it. You can dig in and do your thing to a degree, but you do have to evolve. You have to do things maybe a different way. Look, he learned on the fly. Who's kidding who? He made mistakes, whether he would be willing to admit it or not, but he's changed. He has, which so he does care. And he also listens to the stuff. He listens to all the chatter. He knows what's being said. And he does care. I know he plays tough guy, and that's fine. But he does care. And I think actually that's a good trait to have.
Yeah. Well, I agree.
Strong-willed is fine.
I agree.
But he does care. But you need that element too. All right. You know somebody who's been a part of all this? Man, covered him and watched this whole thing play out. Big Al. We're just talking about Big Jeff. Big Al.
Big Al.
Albert Haynesworth will join us to start the second hour. We'll talk to him about what Jeffrey Simmons is going through right now. We'll do that to begin the second hour of the DDC. That's next.